I just want to open with a word this morning. Father, you would say to us this morning that you have a word of encouragement for each person who is here. He would say that there are those of you who think, I don't hear you. I haven't heard your cry. But he would say, yes, I've heard you. And now I want you to listen to me. I'm the one who has the answer. I'm the one who has the word for you. Listen, listen. My sheep do know my voice, and they follow after me. Listen with the ear of your heart this morning. I will speak directly to you. I will speak to your heart today. I know all about you. I know every concern that you have, every trial that you are dealing with. I know about them, and I will speak to you today. The title that the Lord gave me for this morning was, Can You Hear Me? Now, some of you that are a little bit older, and maybe some of you younger ones, I don't know, but remember, there used to be a commercial. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? The subtitle is Hearing God's Voice Above the Roar of the World. The scripture text came from John, the 10th chapter, the 27th verse. Somebody said to me, well, that was easy enough to read. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. But if you'll read that whole chapter of John 10, it's talking about the shepherd and his sheep. That the sheep do know the voice of the shepherd, the good shepherd, and the voice of a stranger they do not heed or follow after. So there's a difference between the voice of the good shepherd and the voice of the enemy. And I think we've all experienced times when we've asked ourselves, was that you, God? Or was that just me? Did I hear you right? Or was that just me? And we all go through times when we're not sure whether it's God, whether he's listening and talking to us, or it's just us talking to ourselves. Yet throughout the scriptures, from Genesis to Revelation, it tells us that God does want to talk to us. He's speaking all the time. He wants to talk to us, and he desires for us to listen. Proverbs 4:20 through 23 says, My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen. Listen closely to my words. Don't let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. In the Message translation in Proverbs 8:34, it says, Bless the man, bless the woman who listens to me, awake and ready for each morning, alert and responsive as I start my day. God starts his day with you. Now, we know that there's different time zones all around the world, and your day starting may be different than another person's day starting. But he wants you to be alert to him as you start your day and as he works in your life. And this is an awesome thought to me. And I will have to admit, I don't think on this often enough. But to realize that God wants to talk with me. He wants to talk with you. The one who created the world wants to talk with you. The one who knew you before you were ever born wants to talk with you. The one who knows everything about you wants to talk with you. Now, notice that word with. When you talk with somebody, it's not just a one-way conversation. And it says he wants to talk with you. Why? Because he wants you to know him intimately. He wants you to recognize his voice. So if you have spent time talking with him, when, like a parent may say, I've got to have a talk with you, you're going to receive from him because you've learned of him. You know his voice. You know he loves you. You know he knows everything about you. And so you'll be able to take that talking to if you've been talking with him. A little bit before that in John 10, in 4 and 5, it says, the shepherd goes before his sheep, and they know his voice, and they follow. They don't go running out after the strange shepherd. Now, I have never taken care of sheep. I grew up and lived for a while next to a farm that was their livelihood. They raised sheep. I had someone tell me one time that sheep were stupid. But they did recognize the voice of the shepherd or the one who was taking care of them. So, what does that say to us? So, and if you've ever been around them, you'll notice that if someone else comes in, they don't recognize that voice. They don't follow after him. So why is it that we can't hear? Do you ever have trouble hearing? I'm well past the age of 50, 60. And I get these cards in the mail several times a month. Come and get your free hearing exam. I mean, and it doesn't stop. I don't respond, but it doesn't stop. They keep sending me these cards. Come and get your hearing checked. Free. And then we'll tell you what you need so you can hear better. So why can't we hear God's voice? Well, the Holy Spirit began, and I'm not saying he's never spoken to me about this before, but really, really started speaking to me about this earlier this year about hearing God's voice. We live in a world with all kinds of voices trying to get our attention, trying to communicate with us. There's the TV, the radio, the internet, cell phones, Facebook, Twitter, on and on and on. There's even a little lady in your car, if you have a GPS that was placed in that car when it was made, that talks to you. She tells you, you didn't make the right turn. I have to reprogram. I'll get back to you and tell you where to make another turn so you get on the right path. So we have those things talking to us. Do you hear a roar? I don't know whether any of you go out to eat to a restaurant, but you can see four people sitting at a table and nobody's talking to the other people there because they're talking on the phone. They're texting. Now, technology, I think, is wonderful for the people who know how to work it. Have you seen that commercial on TV where the grandparents are coming out the front door, the grandchildren are coming up the stairs, and they've got computer and all in their hand, and they, instead of saying hello, they just say, here, none of this works. So they're expecting the grandchildren, of course, to tell them and to tutor them into how to hear and to communicate on these new technologies that we have. Now, those are technological things that I've talked about. But then there are our husband, our wife, our children, our grandchildren, jobs, friends. Do you hear the roar? Do you hear the roar? All vying for that place. Do you hear my voice? And then there's the clock. Brought one with me, so I wouldn't go overtime. But we have quite a few clocks at our house. There's one in the living room that goes tick tock, tick tock, tick tock, tick tock, tick tock, tick tock, 24 hours a day. And then we have a clock on a shelf, and I won't tell you where the shelf is located, but it calls out the time of day, every hour, on the hour. Bobby had this clock before he and I were married, and the first time I heard it, I thought, oh, who is that? Where is that person? 7 a.m., 8 a.m., 9 a.m. And unless the battery runs low, it continues to do that. And then there's the alarm clock that's by your bed, which most of them have a snooze alarm that if you touch it, smack it, however you approach it, it allows you to ignore the call to get up. Get up. It's time to start your day. And you can do that for however long you wish. Because if you keep smacking it, it'll stop for a while, but then it comes back on again and gives you another alarm. Do you hear the roar? We may be constricted by time, as we live on this earth. We're given 24 hours a day. That's what we're given. But God is not. He's not. And he will talk to you whenever you go to talk to him. Steve brought out that verse of scripture in Hebrews last week about the word of God being a living word. That it is alive. It's not dead. It gives life. And right after that, it talks about how because we are a believer and because of the sacrifice that Jesus has made, we can come boldly. We can run to him. We can come boldly before the throne of grace and speak with him. We don't have to go through other people. We can go directly to him. And then there's those times when we're hearing, but we're not listening. I think this is what got me started on really reflecting on this back in the early part of the year. If you turn on the TV nowadays and you're on any news station, you will find that there's people talking, but nobody's listening. Why? Because if you watch them, one person will start saying something, and you can look at the other person and tell they're not listening because they're already thinking, well, this is what I've got to say. And they're composing their answer before that person ever finishes saying what they have to say. And then if that's not enough, if you don't finish up quickly, I'll just start talking over top of you. I'll just start talking over top of you. So nobody hears anything. Nobody hears anything. So how do we hear? How do we hear, Lord? How do we hear you over the roar of the world? Because many, many, many places in the scripture, it says he speaks to us in a still, small voice. Wonder why that is. Is it because we have to get quiet before we can hear that still, small voice? Is it because we have to be giving him our attention, full attention, before we can hear that still, small voice? I would say yes, that that's a great part of it. We have 24 hours a day that we spend doing all sorts of things. If you're a mother, you get up, you feed your children, you get your children ready for school, you pass them out the door. If you're a working mother, then you get ready for your job, you go off to your job. Then in the evening, you come back home, you see that the children are getting their homework, that the supper's ready when your husband gets home from work, yada, 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 yada. And it's a routine that we get into. If you don't have children and you work outside of the home, you still have a routine that you follow day after day after day. So what do we have to do? We have to prioritize. We have to make time. We have to set aside time to meet with God, to meet with Him. Jesus Himself did that. It says over and over in the Gospels, He got up early in the morning and He went away to a secluded place and prayed. Or after He had been preaching and teaching, He withdrew from the crowds and He went away to a secluded place and talked with the Father. And the result of that was He said many times over and over, He made this point, I only say what I hear my Father say, and I only do what I hear my Father do. So if it was important for Him to do that, it's important for us to do that. The more time that we spend with Him, everybody's not going to have the same routine. Don't compare your time with God with what someone else is doing. That can get you into bondage. I remember when I was first born again and I began to hear about people who prayed for 3 or 4 hours a day. I thought, well, isn't that nice? I think I'll try that. Or then there was the time when a group of us decided that we were going to pray for all the schools in the area, which we continue to do, but we decided that we were going to get up at 6 o'clock every morning, meet at the church at 6:30, 5 days a week, and do this. That lasted only 1 week. Because that wasn't what He was telling each one of us to do as individuals. But we were comparing that to what someone else did. God, by His Spirit, will show you when to have that time with Him, where to have that time with Him, because He is a relational God. He loves you. That was a revelation to me many, many years ago. I knew He loved the world, but when He began to speak to me about how much He loved me and cared for me as an individual, I thought, I want to spend time with Him. There was a passion in me at that time to spend as much time with Him as I could. And sometimes after a period of time, that passion wanes because of all of these things that we were talking about. All of this roar for our attention, for our time. But I will tell you this, if you prioritize and you give Him time and you talk with Him, and those times when He has to talk to you, to correct you, if you prioritize that, He'll redeem that time that you spent with Him. He'll redeem it. You'll seem like, well, I was able to do that much quicker. I was able to get that done much quicker. I was able to do this or do that much quicker than I did before, and I still had the same amount of hours in the day. But He'll do that for you because that's how much He loves you. And I want to go back to that point about when you're talking, when someone is talking with you, it's a two-way conversation. I think a lot of times we think about prayer and going to the Father and asking Him for something. You know, Father, you know, this is what I'm dealing with, asking Him for an answer. And yes, He does answer. Yes, He has the answer. But you know what? Lots of times He just likes to talk with you because you're special to Him. You're unique. One of the interpretations or translations of in the Message translation calls us His masterpiece. You're a masterpiece as far as God's concerned. There's no one else like you. And so He likes to talk to you. Well, I have three sons. They don't always communicate like maybe girls do, but I like to talk with them. I enjoy that. I enjoy time with them. I pray that they enjoy time with me, but I enjoy time with them. And so when you think of it in relation to a parent, a father, a mother, you enjoy talking with your children. God actually enjoys talking with you. Now let's think about this. There are probably a billion plus Christians in the world. I'm going to say that. Probably more than that, but a billion plus. You know what? The line's never busy. You don't ever have to be put on call wait. You don't ever have to leave a message, Father, get back in touch with me. The line was busy. I had this to, you know, I need to talk to you about, but you don't. Now think about that. Think about that. He's speaking, talking all the time. He knows your voice as well. You can cry out to Him. He can say, "That's Buell. That's Buell Messer. That's Joe Anthony. That's Roxanne. I just talked to her yesterday." He recognizes our voice. It's important to Him. And that's why He wants us to recognize His voice as well. Because when that time arises when you're not in that quiet place and He needs to speak to you, it might just be one word. It might just be one word. But He wants you to recognize it's Him. It's Him. There's a thing when if by accident you catch on fire, your clothing catches on fire. It's a real simple thing that they tell you to do. Stop, drop, and roll. So sometimes the things that He says to us may be very simple. They may be one word. He wants us to recognize that. At other times, He may have a more lengthy discussion to have with us. And there again, when you've spent time talking with Him, at those times when there's correction, when there's discipline, when there's the saying, you need to make an adjustment here, you need to do this, I want you to do this for me, I want you to go here, I want you to go there, you'll receive that because you know that He loves you and what He says to you is for your good and not for harm. And the only way that we get to know Him that intimately is to spend time with him. In our morning prayer before this service, Steve read a scripture out of Peter that talks about our enemy. And it says he goes about like a roaring lion. Roar. He goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But you know, he's a defeated foe. So it's just, he's trying to find somebody that doesn't recognize the voice of God. He's trying to roar. He's trying to get you to take thoughts that don't come from the Father. They come from the enemy. And the enemy is the father of lies. And God would say to us today, you serve the Lion of Judah. And there are times when he will roar in your behalf. Or he'll give you the roar. He'll give you the shout. He'll give you the victory. So there's nothing that you are dealing with, no circumstance, no relationship, nothing that you have gone to him about that he doesn't care about, because he knows you, because he loves you with an everlasting love. There's nothing you could do, there's nothing you could say that would ever separate you from that love, ever, ever. My favorite part about the story of the prodigal son is it says that while the son had finally come to the realization that life is better at Father's house, in Father's house. But it says that the father saw him when he was still a long way down the lane. And he ran. He ran to meet him. So, if you think that you've done something, said something, that has disconnected you you haven't. Turn around. Run to him. Because I want to give time. I believe the Holy Spirit is here. I believe he's working in each one of our lives. I believe he wants to minister life and light to each one of us today. And we all may be dealing with different things, but he wants to speak, and he wants us to hear his voice today. I want to read some verses from Psalm 139. It says, and I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation, starting at verse 1. O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and you follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. And then verse 14 in that same psalm. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. And then verse 17. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. So here we have recognized, we see one who has recognized how wonderful God is. What a great God he is, and how much he loves us, how much he cares about us. He knew you before the world was formed. And then at the very end is where we come to that place where we can say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. And then it goes on to say, if there is any wicked way in me or anything in me that should not be there, show me and change me. So I'm going to close with a proverb, Proverbs 3. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure everything out on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who's going to keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God. Run from evil. Your body will glow with health, and your very bones will vibrate with life. Honor God with everything you own. Give him the first and the best. That's what he's saying to us this morning. I would encourage you, if he has spoken to you about this very same thing, this started earlier this year, and he's continuing to speak to me about this. So, but prioritize, make the time to spend time with him, make the time to hear his voice. Back some time ago when Alan Brown had a service, he gave out these little Freedom in Christ cards. I don't know whether we still have any of these in the church. But this would just be a good thing to put in your Bible, pull it out in your devotional time, because it talks about who you are in Christ. We all need to know that. So, Pastor Steve says that we have some of these, so they are available. You can also, they have the scripture references here. I would encourage you to read the epistles. They're written directly to the church. They talk about who we are in Christ, and that will build you up. That will encourage you. Because all of us face things that we'd rather not face. All of us deal with things that sometimes are very painful and sometimes are very hard. But he wants us to know that his very own nature, his very own Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of you. And he is with us 24 hours a day. Call on him. And listen. Listen to his voice.